All right. So if you do have your Bible with you or your phone, however you want to open, scroll, wherever, our main passage we'll be looking at will be Matthew 26, verse 39. But I want to start off, I want to ask you, have you ever had something not go the way you wanted it to? Good. It's not only me. I feel like I could write a book sometimes. It was actually a little concerning when I was getting ready for this, how many examples I could think of from my own life where things did not go how I had planned them. This is kind of fun. My 10-year anniversary is next week on Thursday. I know. Yes. Thank you. So that was on my mind, and I was thinking back. A lot of you know my wife, Michelle. She's not in this service. She'll be in the next one. If you don't know her, she's fantastic. I highly encourage you to meet her. She's a very much behind-the-scenes person, but she is wonderful. We're high school sweethearts. We go way, way back. And so we met each other when we were in high school. And so we have a lot of history. And I was thinking back, there's a lot of things I did that were kind of, did not go the way I planned. I remember one time, we're sitting there. We were in high school. I brought her to a movie theater, right? And so, if you all don't know this trick, probably don't listen to me. And so we're sitting there in a movie theater. Maybe you've done this before. I want to slip my arm around her, right? Right? And so I do the whole right? And, the goal is you want to just kind of slide your arm right in there like nothing even happened, right? And so that did not go how I wanted it to. I went, and then dropped my arm right down on top of her head. My sweet Michelle looks over at me and goes, ouch. Not go how I wanted it. Not work out the way I had planned. So there was another time I was thinking about. We had met at church. I've known her family, but it was the first time that I was invited over to their house. And so you can imagine, me in high school, not the suave, confident person you see before you today. Don't laugh at that. I'm joking. I wanted this to go well. And so, we're over there. Things are going fine. I'm meeting, her family and everything. I mean, again, met them, but different in their house. And so they pulled out, they had this old dining room table with these, nice wooden chairs that have this ornate back on them. And so they pull one out for me. We're sitting there. We're all talking. And I leaned back in my chair. I know. And in that moment, I realized why all of my teachers for my entire life had always been like 4 feet on the floor. Because I leaned back in that chair. That beautiful, ornate back just snapped. I know. It snapped. I went down with a nice big crash. I'm looking up at the ceiling thinking that did not just happen. But it did. And to this day, they took that chair, cut the back off, sanded it down, and they'll still pull that stool out. It's a stool now. They'll still pull it out for me when I come over. That was 15 years ago. I mean, still to this day. And so that did not go how I had planned it. Not in the least. And I'm sure we can all think of examples in our lives where things did not go how we planned. Because when we really want something to go well, the way we want it to go, we're concerned about it. A lot of times we even take the time to pray for it, right? I mean, sometimes it's little things. You ever been driving through a parking lot and just pray, dear Lord, help me find a parking spot. Close to the front. Really close to the front. Not the handicapped one. Not allowed to park in those. But, close enough. Please, Lord. And you know what? Sometimes you find that close parking spot. You're pulling around and that car pulls out and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And sometimes you got to park way in the back and it's like you're hiking through the Amazon rainforest to get to Machu Picchu just to go to Walmart, right? So, and especially the one on Bevel, it can be an experience sometimes. And so, you got a long hike for you. Or, maybe you want to get a promotion at work. You go for the promotion and that jerk down the hall, and he's not a jerk, but, he got that promotion instead of you, so he's a jerk today. And so, he got the promotion instead of you. And, or sometimes you do get it. Sometimes it goes your way and sometimes it doesn't. So maybe you have a big test coming up and you pray for it to go well. Whether you studied or not, you're just like, dear Lord, help me to do well on this. Sports, maybe you pray for your team to do well, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. Or maybe in more serious matters, you're going through a struggle in your life. There's something you're worried about, your child, or you're worried about a friend, or you're worried about something in your own life, and you pray for it. And sometimes, you pray, dear Lord, take this, I don't know what to do with this, get this, resolve this. And sometimes it gets resolved. And sometimes it doesn't. And that can be frustrating. Because we look at that and it becomes so easy for us just to think, well, there must be something wrong with me, or there must be something wrong with how I prayed or what I prayed, or, you know, sometimes, you know, we have a lot of doubts and we say maybe there's something wrong with God. But the problem is, though, it's how we're looking at prayer. Because we're looking at prayer almost as it's a way for us to get our way. And that's a wrong perspective. It can lead to disappointment and bitterness. It can make us doubt, wonder, does God even hear what we're saying? But the truth is, the problem is with us. Because looking at prayer just as a means to get what I want is not a biblical thing. There is a place for it. I'll talk about that later. But more importantly, prayer, it's not about getting our way. It's about us getting out of the way. Another way you could think of it is prayer is not about us imposing our will. It's about us laying our will aside. So it's not about us imposing our will. It's about us laying our will aside. And, you know, a lot of times when, you know, we need some correction on our perspective, a good place to look at that is what Jesus taught. To see what Jesus taught, what he did, and to look at his example. So if you look at Matthew chapter 26, we're going to be looking at verses 39 and 42. So now this is after the Last Supper. Jesus and a few of the disciples head over, you know, head into a garden for some prayer. Jesus says, you know, pray with me. And it says that he, talking about Jesus, went a little farther, and falling on his face, he prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And Jesus, he came back to his friends, and, you know, great friends they were. They're over there sleeping. You know, Jesus is in agony. Jesus is, to put it lightly, he is stressed a lot, beyond what we could imagine. Jesus knows what's coming. He knows that Judas is, at that moment, or right about that time, betraying him. He knew that his friends would leave him. He knew the death that was facing him. And his friends are just there napping away. So it says he went further a second time and prayed, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." How often do we pray like that? So not for this situation to go away, but for God's will to be done. And so, like I said, Jesus knew what was coming, but he was committed to his purpose. He was there. He was ready. And he was willing to follow the Father's will. So there was another instance, too, the Lord's Prayer, a very famous passage. The disciples, they asked Jesus, "How should we pray?" Because they had heard Jesus pray a lot, and Jesus didn't pray like they had learned growing up. Jesus was different. You know, they had grown up praying psalms and wrote prayers, and they said, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And so Jesus told them this is Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Therefore pray in this matter, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Notice, it's your Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's not my kingdom. It's not my will. It's his. And that can be hard for us, because a lot of times it's really hard to pray to God, "Thy kingdom come," unless we're willing to say, "My kingdom go." We need to be willing to lay our kingdom aside. But we get caught up in our things, right? It's our nature. We get interested in our things. We're interested in our job, in our money, in our hobbies, in our interests, our success, our security. We are very interested in those things. And often we'll pray for those. But, you know, "Lord, your will be done unless it costs me these things. I want to hold on to these. I like these a lot." And so, but we need to be willing to lay that aside, because just like Jesus modeled, it's your kingdom come, your will be done, not mine. So, and quite honestly, you know, that stuff that we lay aside to pursue what God has for us, we got to understand that a lot of times, you know, what we want isn't even what's best for us. God truly wants what's best for us. And although it might be, you know, tempting, easy, comfortable to say, you know, "I'd rather just stay with this. This is good. I can hold on to this." God has something far better for us. Something far better laid out for us than we could imagine. But we're comfortable with this. We want to stay with this because we want this. It might not be what's best for us, but we want it. And like I said, a lot of people, you know, a lot of us, me too, I'm guilty of this. We want what we want, whether or not it's what's best for us. This might just be me who's had this experience. I don't know. I think this might be a little bit more universal. You've ever been at a family gathering? There's always that one family member, maybe it's a sibling. A lot of times it's a cousin. You know, you're sitting around and they're like, guys, I was thinking about getting a motorcycle. And someone's like, no, I've seen you drive. You do not need to get a motorcycle. Is that just my family? A lot of bad drivers in my family, I guess. Seriously, anytime someone's like, I was thinking about getting a motorcycle, it's always like, I've seen you drive. You don't need to be on one of those things. So it's how that conversation always goes, at least in my house. Or if you have kids, kids are notorious for this. They always want what's really bad for them, right? Whether it's a lot of ice cream before bed or whatever it is. I have three kids. My three-year-old, Andolyn, we call her Andy for short, she's a climber. You ever have any kids that are climbers? So she's a climber. She loves to climb on stuff everywhere. And she'll climb right up stuff, and she'll get there, and she'll find a stool like this, and she'll just kind of like make her way up it. And y'all are getting real nervous right now. This is like a daily occurrence in my house. She'll get up there, and my little three-year-old will go, whoa, 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 with this big old grin on her face. And it's stressful for us. Like, it's stressful. She gets up there. She's like, whoa, 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 whoa. The couch, stools, chairs, whatever. It doesn't matter. She's a climber. Like, I don't know how she does it. So, and it's very stressful. But, oh, my goodness, if you tell her, oh, Andy, don't do that. Oh, you better look out. Because then you get the, but I want to. Right? No, you can't climb on that. No, you're driving me crazy. You're going to fall. And you know, every now and then she does fall because what do you expect? She's three. They're not exactly that coordinated. But I want to. No, you can't have ice cream 10 minutes before dinner. But I want to. Right? I hear that doesn't get better as they get older. Is that true? Great. So that's fun to know. Kids do that a lot, right? They want to do it. They want to do it. They don't care if it's good for them. They want to do it. But we can be that way too. As adults, you know, we can basically say to God, but I want to. I don't want to give that up. I want to keep it in my life. I want to keep that. God, don't take that from me. Like, you know, God, I'm really comfortable with this job. I don't want to, you know, step out and try something different. No, God, no, I don't want to. We do that. We tell God, but I don't want to. And so, but the thing is, though, is that what God has for us is far better than what we could imagine. But we're busy praying for our things, for our will, for our kingdom, instead of praying, your will be done. We're using prayer to get our way, not to get out of the way, not to lay our will aside. And now, like I said, there is a place, you know, there is a place to pray for our needs, our wants even. That's not unbiblical. I mean, the Lord's Prayer, the very next verse says, give us this day our daily bread. Philippians tells us, let your requests be made known unto God. But what I'm asking you about are your priorities in prayer. Where are they? What are your priorities in prayer? Is it all about what I want and nothing for what God wants? I know for me that's the temptation I can fall into a lot, is praying for my things, for what I want. We have to be careful because that's not what prayer is for. But it could become a temptation. The real question we have to ask ourselves, and this is a tough question to ask, but it's this. It's, are you praying more for God to align with what you want than for you to align with what God wants? And that's not a fun question to ask. You know, if you were to be honest with yourself and take an inventory of your prayers for, say, the past week and say, how many of those prayers were for what I wanted, and how many of them were praying for what God wants? Now, sometimes those things match up, and that's great, that's wonderful, but sometimes they don't. Like we said, a lot of times what we want isn't always what's best for us, or it doesn't line up with what God wants for us. But we have to trust God that what He wants is going to be better for us. It's about priorities, it's about prioritizing, knowing that what God wants for me is better than what I could imagine. So I have to have faith. Depend on Him and say, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, not mine. So, because a lot of times what we do, we want to do something so bad, we get so caught up in the if we could, We don't ask if we should. Have you ever done that before? So I also, I've been talking about my family a lot today. I also have a little brother. A lot of people don't know that. He lives up in Ohio. And so he was the kind of kid who was always bringing, we'll call it junk home. Always bringing whatever he found. I don't even know. I swear, for like 2 years, he had a transmission set in our garage. I don't know where it came from. I never learned. Not in my garage, like in our parents' garage. It just sat there for a long time. He was just that kind of kid. Like, he was just always finding stuff. Like, this is cool. I'll put this in a car one day or something. And he never would. And I kid you not, one day, it's one of my favorite stories because the look on his face as an older brother, I'm like, it just warmed my heart to see the look of shock and horror on his face. He was walking back from a neighbor's house. He had to be like in middle school probably. He's walking back and he's pushing this lawnmower. It wasn't our lawnmower. And so we're like, Dylan, where'd this lawnmower come from? And he's like, isn't it cool? The neighbor was throwing it away. My mom looks right at him and goes, Dylan, it's not trash day. Go take that back. Poor neighbor was out mowing his yard and went in for like a drink or something. And, you know, my brother just saw this lawnmower and thought, free lawnmower. See you later. And so I don't know if the neighbor ever noticed or not, but he hustled. And the look on his face, like I said, as an older sibling, it just warmed my heart. But, you know, he was wondering, you know, he knew he could. He wasn't asking if he should. That's kind of an important thing for us to do. You know, we don't ever, you know, we tend to not ask that when we pray either. You know, should I even try that? Should I even be here? Maybe should I even date that person? Is that a good idea for me, God? You know, instead we pray, dear Lord, I want this to work. Make this work instead of asking, Lord, is this what you want? Or should I take that promotion or not? Lord, you know, give me guidance. Instead of that, we're like, Lord, please give me that promotion. I want it really bad. Or, you know, should I, you know, we pray for what we want, not asking God what's best for us, not what we want. We treat God like he should just get on board with what we're doing, right? Like, come on, God, let's go. You know, I have this idea. Let's go. We got this. There's a story in Joshua. I've always loved this story. It's in the book of Joshua. You don't have to turn there, but if you're curious, it's in Joshua chapter 5. And so it's right before the Battle of Jericho. If you're familiar with that story, it's, you know, Israel comes across the river. They come into the land that God has promised them. They come to the city Jericho. They're going to march around it a bunch of times. God's going to do a miracle. All the walls are going to fall down. And, you know, they win because of God's hand in it. It's a wonderful story. But beforehand, you know, Joshua, who is the leader of Israel, he is doing some reconnaissance. He's checking out the land. I don't know if he's alone or has a group with him. I don't know. But it says that he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him. And in his hand was his drawn sword. So you can imagine he's out there. You know, it's a war zone. He's, you know, checking out everything. And he sees this guy standing off with a sword in his hand. So he asks the logical question. He's like, Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our enemies? Makes sense. You know, it could be one of his people, could be one of their people. He's like, who are you? And the guy's answer is interesting. I've always loved this. He said, neither, for I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. This man is saying, I'm not on your side. I'm not on their side. I'm on God's side. So obviously this was a messenger that God had sent. You know, Joshua is seeing this. But the point is, though, is that God wasn't on Joshua's side. He wasn't on the enemy's side. It was Joshua getting on God's side. Was Joshua going to align himself with what God was doing? And the answer is, yes, he does. So, but we struggle with that sometimes. We struggle to do that. And there's a really good question we need to ask ourselves. Would we rather follow God's desires or our own desires? Would we rather, when we pray, look to get our way or to get ourselves out of the way? Pray to impose our will or to lay our will aside? And quite honestly, what God has for us is far better. And that raises the question, what does God want for us? What is God's desire for our lives? I love, again, another famous verse. People love it. It gets taken out of context every now and then, but Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. And we love, that's a beautiful verse. It really is. It's a wonderful truth. But we have to stop and look at the next verse. You got to look at it in context. You got to see what verses come next. What's the rest of the sentence? It says, because the next verse, verse 29, is, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So when it says that all things work together for good, it's not that, you know, I'm going to come out of this and I'm going to be more handsome, more rich, and more wise. And that is what God has for me. It's that you're going to come through it looking more like Jesus. That is what God has for you. And the beautiful thing is God even tells us what that looks like in the Bible. You look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, meekness, self-control. I'll be honest with you. That sounds better than anything I could come up with. Because there are a lot of people who have a whole lot of money, don't have any love. They have a whole lot of power, but they don't have any joy. They can have the biggest house, you know, in Daytona Beach. But without any peace, what good is that? Because all the temporal stuff, it's not going to impress God. It's not what God wants for us. It's not even what's best for us. That fruit of the Spirit in our lives, that love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that goodness, that gentleness, that meekness, that self-control, that is what's good for us. It's what's better for us. And so are we seeking that in our lives, or are we seeking these other things? Really, it's something we really have to, it's a personal question. I can't answer that for you, but you have to look at your own life and say, what am I seeking in my life, really? Now, what do I say? Now, what do I come to church and say, oh yeah, that's what I want in my life, but really, in your day-to-day actions, what are you pursuing in your life? Are you trying to get your way? Or are you saying, God, I'm willing to get out of the way for whatever you have for me? I would hope that that's your prayer. So, because quite honestly, you know, God, he might not always give us what we want. You know, just like if you have kids, you don't always give your kids what they want. But God is going to give us what we need. And he's always going to do that. Now, I want to circle back to those verses I started with in Matthew 26. And so if you're here and you say, you know, I hear what you're saying, but your whole thing is starting off with the idea that, you know, that I'm even going to bother praying to God. Maybe I don't believe in that God. Maybe I'm not sure about that. I want to draw your attention to these, and I want to challenge you. If Jesus is here praying, let this cup pass from me. If this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Understand, Jesus, as I said, he's agonizing over this. Stress doesn't even begin to describe it. And he knows what's coming. And what is coming? He knows that his friend Judas, who traveled with him for 3 years, saw him do miracles, that he knew that Judas was off telling his enemies, give me some money, I'll tell you where to find him. He knew that all of his friends, these 11 other guys, not including Judas, these 11 other guys, once Jesus got arrested, they were all going to bolt. Even Peter, who was all like, you're going to die, I'm going to die with you. You know, before the sun even came up, Peter was already like, I don't even know that guy. Jesus who? What are you talking about? Jesus knew the mockery he was going to get from the Roman soldiers. They were gonna take him and beat him, and you know, they said, oh, so you think you're a king? They threw a purple robe on him, made him a crown with these big old thorns in it, and pushed it down on his head, and you know, pushed him around and you know, roughed him up a bit, and they were like, oh, you're a prophet, tell us who's hitting you, you know, just mocking him. Jesus knew that was coming. He knew he was gonna be submitted to sham trial. There wouldn't be any justice. He knew that was coming. He knew that he was going to be beaten again, that he was going to be stripped. He was going to be hung on a cross, which, by the way, is a very slow, slow way to die. Painful. It was meant as a humiliating punishment for criminals. And he was innocent. He knew all that was coming. But you know what? That is why Jesus was sorrowful. Jesus was not excited about that. But the good news is that Christ's sorrow at the cross and what he was going to go through, that is the source of our joy. That because that Christ sorrowed, because he did drink that cup, because he took what was laid in front of him, he said, this is what needs to be done, and he was willing to do it, that is our source of joy. the writer of Hebrews, said, let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Despising the shame, Jesus hated what it was going to be. But despising the shame, and now he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is exalted now. He knew what was coming after the cross as well. Because Jesus, he went to that cross and he died. He was buried. He was put in a tomb that they borrowed from someone. But he didn't stay there. 3 days later, he rose again. That tomb was empty. And we have Easter coming up and we're going to celebrate that. But, you know, that's just, it's something we should celebrate all year. That tomb was empty. And if you think about it, just for a second, those Roman soldiers, the Roman government, they could have put this whole Christianity thing to bed right there. They would have just been like, what are you talking about? Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Here's his body. Case closed, right? We wouldn't even be here at church today. But they didn't, because they couldn't. And Jesus did that for us. And more specifically, he did that for you. And so if you're here saying, I don't know if I believe what you're saying. I have my doubts. I have my questions. That's okay. But I want to challenge you to look for the truth. Look into God's word. It can stand for itself. Look and see what Jesus did for you. And so now, really today's message. I know I started off talking about prayer and all of that, but it's really not just about prayer. If we want to dig down just a little deeper, this morning it's all about laying our will aside for something far better. It's about us getting out of the way, right? Not about us getting our way, but about us getting out of the way. That's what today's about. And maybe you're here and you say, you know, I believe in what Jesus did for me. You know, I believe that when I pray that God hears me. And, you know, but what you're saying about prayer really resonates with me. You know, maybe you fall into that trap too, where prayer just becomes about what I want, less about what God wants. Pray to God that he will work on that, work on your heart. Take a hard look at what you pray for. Be honest with yourself. Say, am I really praying for what God wants? Am I really praying for what God wants or for what I want? Challenge your heart and stay on that, because like I said, it could be so easy to slip. It could be so easy to fall out of that. So look at your prayers, take stock, and adjust accordingly, right? So pray, not my will be done, but his will be done. Not my kingdom come, that his kingdom come. I want to challenge you. Prayer is not about getting our way. It's about getting out of the way. And maybe you're here and you say, what you said about Jesus doing that for me, that's what I need in my life. I hear you. I know that I have done things that are wrong. I know. And that way leads to death, to brokenness. But God offered us a way through his son. All we have to do is believe in him. We look to him, we have faith, and we say, I believe, Jesus, that you did that for me, that you are who you said you are, that you rose from that grave 3 days later. I believe that, and you can make that decision today to trust Christ. He is offering it as a gift, but you don't get to use a gift unless you accept it and unwrap it, right? You have to choose to accept it. And that's my challenge for you. If you say, no, I need to accept that. We'll have a moment where you could do that here in just a second. But I just want you to think about that. What do you need to lay aside in your life? Nothing is better than closeness with our Savior. It's a very sweet thing. It is wonderful. But we don't get there unless we're willing to lay ourselves aside. It can't be about me. It's got to be about him. So we need to get out of our own way sometimes. All right, let's...